man. I'd like to welcome you to our service, and that's the Star Spangled Banner. And we're very familiar with the first verse of the Star Spangled Banner, but there's four verses here that Francis Scott Key wrote, and we have it in our hymnals. But the fourth verse is what I'd like to call your attention to, and I'm going to read it to you. It says, "Oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven-rescued land praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must, when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave." Our country's nothing without God. We're nothing without God. And I love America. I thank God for America. And may we ever pray for America to turn to God in repentance and faith. And surely our land needs prayer, needs God's mercy. Our land needs for God's people that know the Lord to stand up and give a bold witness for Him and tell others of the saving power of Jesus Christ and how He can change lives. If we want America to ever be great, then America needs to turn to God. And America needs to be saved. And only Jesus can save us by His death, burial, and resurrection. I trust you're saved today because that's what true freedom is. And I'll be preaching on that in the second service here on Sunday about what is true freedom. But for today, I'd like to find your place for this morning in Luke chapter 15. This is a continuation of last Sunday's message. So if you didn't get an opportunity to listen to the first part of this message from last Sunday and entitled Sin and Salvation Part 1, and you can look on sermon audio and find that. And I highly recommend, because that covered the first 2 points of the message. And with the help of God, we'll go through this message here. And there's hope for the sinner today. There's hope in Jesus Christ. And there's hope for all who'll believe in God's only begotten Son. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all men come to repentance, that all men come to faith in Christ Jesus. He desires for whosoever will to be saved. I'm glad our God didn't pick some to go to heaven and some to go to hell. It's open for everyone to go to heaven if they'll simply put their faith in Jesus Christ. And I thank the Lord for salvation today and for the freedoms that we have in our land. If you found your place in Luke chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 11. "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Last Sunday, we looked at the first 2 points of this message. We looked at the fact that the prodigal came to his father. Number two, we looked at the fact that the prodigal came to the far country. Prior to ever leaving his house, prior to ever demanding of his father what was due him, and him actually physically leaving into that far country, that far country was already in this young man's heart. But one day he decided to act out what was already on the inside. If you're an inward rebel today, beware, because one day that rebellion is going to come out. He went from having a hidden form of rebellion to a way out there form of rebellion. Well, I love our nation, but our nation as a whole is experiencing the far country of the rebellion. It is way out there. Sodomy used to be a hidden sin.
Now it's on commercials. I mean, you can't even watch a documentary or a historical documentary or a geographical documentary on TV without experiencing the commercials there and seeing things, seeing sodomy right there in your face. And it's on the commercials. It's on Disney. Satan is attacking our children at a very young age. At the age of kindergarten age, he's already attacking these young people. And there's teachers out there in these public schools and who knows where else, but are pushing that agenda on these little five-year-old children. May the Lord have mercy upon us. Used to, if the preacher would come around and people were drinking, they'd put their drinks away. They'd try to hide them out of respect for the preacher. But now they have no shame. People used to hide the use of their foul language and just keep it to certain circles. But now it's in your face everywhere. Same thing with immorality and drugs and laziness. America is smack dab in that far country. And remember where the far country is. You say, well, where it is? Where is it? It's far from the Father. That's where that far country is. It's far from the Father. The far country is just not a physical location. The far country is measured by how far a person is from God in their heart. That's how far the far country is. The younger rebellious son that left and went out physically into that far country and lived a life of riotous living. He had an elder brother that was also a little rebel. He never physically left his house, but he was just as far gone as the prodigal. You better be careful, mom and dad, thinking that your children are okay. Oh, well, he and she's at home, or he and she, they're not out there living in sin. They're not out there in that far country. Now, can I ask you this? Does your child have a desire to be in church? You, as a parent, you ought to be able to tell that. Does your child have a desire to be in church? And if he doesn't, why doesn't he? It very well could be that the far country's done got into the home. Mom and dad, I hope you have a desire to be in church. Does your child have a desire to serve God? And if there is no desire to serve God, why isn't there? Does he or she have a desire to be used of God? A person can be just as far gone at home as they can be if they had left the house. What we as parents and grandparents, what we do in moderation, our children and grandchildren will do in excess. We need to be careful. May the Lord help us to hold the line and to be found faithful. If we think little of the things of God, I promise you, our children won't think much of the things of God. Hey, if we're not involved, our children are not going to be involved. We can't expect our children to be all in if we're not all in. May the Lord help us to be found faithful. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." And just notice these last few words of verse 15. "And it giveth light unto all that are in the house." How's your light shining at home? How much darkness is in our homes today? Why? Because the light's not on the candlestick. And may the Lord help us. We need to be careful. Number three in this message, and this is for today's message, the prodigal came to want. He came to his father. He came to the far country. But now we're going to see that this prodigal came to want. In verse 14 it says that when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. The party came to an end. They always do. His money is gone. His friends are gone. His food is gone. His influence and his entourage, all these so-called friends, they're gone. And no man gave unto him. That same bartender that'll act like he cares about every word you have to say will show you the door as soon as your money runs out. Same thing with the drug dealer. I could tell you story after story of people who gave themselves to drugs, and when their money had run out, they went to doing very immoral things, just trying to get one more hit of whatever drug it was. They went to just terrible extremes, and they were used and abused. Just trying, and when they got done with them with that, they just kicked them out of the house. Proverbs 13:15 says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard." It's hard. The way of the transgressor. It's not just hard on the transgressor, but his way is hard on everyone else. This father in our story had his heart broke twice. The first time his heart was broken is when his younger son left the home. And then the second time his heart was broken is when his elder son would not come in. We hear people all the time now crying out, "It's my life, it's my choice, it's my money, it's my life, it's what I want, it's my body." That's kind of the attitude that this young man had. Give me what's due me. It's all about me. Can I just tell you that in our country today and across the land, there's much being said about abortion. But abortion does not just affect the mom. These ladies that are standing there saying, "Hey, it's my body, it's my choice." No, there's a living being inside of you. It's not just about you. It affects that baby inside you. It affects the family of the baby. It's going to affect the father of that child. It's going to have an effect on that father's family. It's going to have an effect on that mother's family. It affects a nation. And that mom will always remember the day they killed their baby. Now there's forgiveness with the Lord. Can I just say that the way of the transgressor, the Bible says, is hard. You may say, "Well, my rebellion won't affect nobody else. It's all about me. It ain't going to affect nobody but me." In our story, who'd that famine affect? It affected a whole country. That young man's rebellion affected that whole family. That whole family was touched by that young man's rebellion. Sin devastates the human. It devastates the home, and it breaks the heart of God. Sin will leave you in want every time. Look at verse 15. "And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." Sin will take you further than you ever thought you would go. This young man never imagined back when he was home and back when he was gathering all his things and his pockets were full of money and his heart there was full of lustful dreams, and he never imagined that one day he'd be joining himself to someone else. He'd be under somebody else's rules. And his rules were to go to places where he had never imagined he would be. His rebellion, he never thought it would lead him to a pig pen. You better be careful what you allow to influence your heart and mind. This young man's demise, it didn't start when he got into the far country. It didn't start when he lost all his money. It didn't start when no man would give to him. His demise began at home. Turn to Luke chapter 8. You can keep your place there, just a few pages over. Talking about the devastation that sin leaves. In Luke chapter 8, and verse 26, it says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man who had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, and with a loud voice said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not.' For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Legion,' because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked." What did the hogs do when they became demon-possessed, which means they were filled with filth, filled with wickedness, filled with rebellion? What did the hogs do when they become demon-possessed? They committed suicide. But here's the problem. We allow filth in our lives. We allow sin in our lives. We allow wickedness in our lives. We allow rebellion against God's word. And children rebel against mom and dads and the authority in the home. But it doesn't affect us like it affected those hogs. Hey, when those demons entered those hogs, the hogs committed suicide. But we tolerate it. We allow it to have a place in our life and in our minds, and we even allow it on our devices. Oh, may the Lord help us. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." How did the prodigal son and his older brother both come to want? One came to want in the far country, and the other one came to want right outside the father's house. Hey, you don't have to be in the far country or be way out there to be in want. Let's go back to Luke 15 and let's read verse 25. "Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, 'Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.' And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him." Both times here in both of these stories, when that young prodigal son came to himself, what was the first thing that he remembered? That in his father's house, there was no want for anything. Here we see this young man that would not go in, this older, elder, rebellious brother. He would not go in, but he too knew that in the father's house, there was no want. There was plenty for everyone in that father's house. All that rebellion and all that lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, can I just say it will never satisfy? The far country has nothing to offer but a famine and death. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." That's all that the far country has to offer. Oh, but thank God, Jesus has much more to offer. That verse goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." There was nothing but death outside of the Father's house. But there was everlasting life in the Father's house. Sin will always leave a person in want. Number four, the prodigal son. Not only did he come to want, but the prodigal son came to himself. Let's read verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Oh, we live in a day of great darkness. We live in a day of famine. We live in a day where sin abounds. We live in a day of satanic influence. We live in a day where more people are bound in the pig pen than ever before. And Satan is trying to cause all young people and even older people, but he's causing them to try to doubt who they even are, to doubt who God made them. Young people are being told that they can choose who they are. Hey, that is only a deception and a lie from the devil. Hey, you know, you got children at the age of 5 and 6 and 7 years old because of the evil and satanic influences in their life. They're asking the question, who am I? Well, right here's the answer. You're a sinner and you're separated from a God that loves you and that gave His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Can I just say this? You can't change who you are. You cannot save yourself. Oh, the prodigal could not do anything but come to the Father in repentance and faith. The prodigal son did not rehabilitate. He did not reform himself before he came back to the Father. No, the Father, it was the only one that could give him new life. Only the Father could declare him alive. The prodigal son saw himself. He came to himself. He saw himself as a sinner in need of a Savior. Look at verse 18. He says, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." He did not say he was a victim of the far country. He did not come to his father and say he was a victim of his home life. He did not come to the father and say that he was a victim of the bad influences in his life. No, he saw himself a sinner who could not better himself. So he made the choice to arise and go to the Father. You know, a lot of people will see their problems. They'll even come to an understanding that they've got some major issues in their life. And they even know where they can find help. But they don't act on it. They don't make that decision to do something about it and then follow that decision. Decisions must lead to action. He arose. He didn't just sit there and wallow in it and think about how good it could be. No, he made a decision to go back to the Father. And he did it. Lastly, the prodigal came to the Father. In Luke 15:20 it says, "And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Drop back down to verse 7. Verse 7 says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." There is joy in the Father's house. This parable ends with the elder brother who had no joy. Why? Because he was outside of the Father's house. Where was joy? It was inside the Father's house. The joy was not on the outside. The joy was on the inside because a sinner had come home. Oh, somebody that was lost had been found. Someone that was dead is alive again. This elder brother was complaining because a sinner had come home. He was complaining because of the great attention and the money and the efforts that were put into celebrating this young person's coming home. Oh, how we better be careful complaining about what the Lord rejoices over. People will complain over the money spent to see people get saved. People will complain over the time involved to see people get saved. People will complain about what others are doing to see people get saved. People will complain about the fuss over one sinner that repented. People will not even share a kind word or a word of encouragement for what's going on in the Lord's work. Oh, people don't want to be involved, not even in the results. They don't want to even get in on the rejoicing over a sinner being saved. This elder brother was all of the above. Boy, he looked religious. He even talked religious. But he was lost. God is blessing. And God is moving. God is doing a mighty work. But there'll be those like the elder brother standing on the outside looking in and not be happy. Do you know what got that elder brother out of the father's house and what kept him on the outs? It's called pride. He would not humble himself and he refused to go in. This world is lost and drowning in a sea of sin. This world is in a far country. Oh, how we need to be a light in a dark world. We need to make sure that the lower lights are burning at home and within our area of influence. There's hope for the sinner today. Hey, there's hope in Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, may the Lord help us to be faithful and be involved in the Lord's work. Maybe there's some under the sound of my voice that may say, hey, preacher, pray for me. I'm in a far country. I'm not where God wants me to be. Hey, would you just please do like this young, rebellious young man that came to himself. He saw himself a sinner in need of a Savior. And he didn't just think about it. He made a decision and acted on it. He came home. Would you call on the name of the Lord and be saved today if you're not saved? Hey, maybe you're a saved person and you're not where God wants you to be and you know it. Why don't you come home? Why don't you humble yourself and go home to the Father? To a place of joy and usefulness for Him. If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, would you come to the Father? He loves you. Jesus died for you. Would you be saved today?